did start under the care of Dan Young at the University of Wisconsin, I think in 1997. He was actually going to let me work on Lepidoptera. But then we had a meeting, I think it was at Hooters, and he talked me into doing Tenebrionids of Wisconsin, which I did. Then I moved to Florida, did my PhD in Lepidoptera, but during that entire time, I was still dabbling with Tenebrionids. So I had the Wisconsin knowledge and got into Florida, so kind of covered eastern United States. So this is just an overview of the eastern U.S. Tenebs. There are Tenebrionids in the eastern United States, and there's a lot more out west, of course. But I'll just give you an overview of what we have in eastern U.S. A little bit of Tenebrionid 101. The name does translate to dark, gloomy, or obscure, but I will show you a few color images. I do have some color tenebs here. The common name darkening beetles or false wireworms is typically applied to the adults and the larvae. Size range anywhere from 1 millimeter to 80 millimeters in some other parts of the world. Yeah, the genera, there's 2,300 genera, 20,000 species worldwide, and we now include the Lagreids and Alaculids. And the Alaculids have sort of bumped up the species counts. And this family is likely the fifth largest family in Coleoptera. It is the largest and most diverse in the Tenebrionoidea. Some of the characters, we've seen some of these things earlier in some of the other talks, but 554 tarsal formula for most of them. We actually have some of those odd ones again with 444 tarsal formulas. This expansion of the fronds and this epistomal canthus giving this heavy brow is typical of Tenebrionids, or most Tenebrionids. Economic importance, again, I thought I would include these genera because these genera always come up at ESA meetings, but there's certainly some economic importance associated with Tenebrionids, Tenebrio tribolium, and then the Alphatobius, which feeds on all kinds of strange things from like dead and dying bats and chickens and destroys the walls of poultry houses and stuff. And then, of course, there's tribolium is often used in genetic studies and population studies. So there's certainly significant economic importance with Tenebrionids. Just a little bit on the life history and habitats. They are known from a wide variety of habitats, and we saw an interesting Teneb on the previous talk that dwells in caves, but certainly they're common in deserts. There are a lot more species of Tenebrionids here in western North America. But they also occur in the nest of vertebrates or other insects, and of course stored products. And some of these ones that have occurred in these nests of vertebrates have sort of evolved to exist in our stored products. There seems to be two main habitat types, those that are associated with soil and sand in the plains or deserts, and then those that are associated with trees or fungi in forests are savannas. And we see a few more of those in the eastern United States. For North America, 200 genera, about 1,300 species. North of Mexico is probably around 1,100 species in the U.S. I see different numbers right around that ballpark. Most of them inhabit arid regions of the western parts of North America. The higher relationships are in some cases not that well sorted out. The basal groups seem to be represented out here in the western part of North America. Pimeliini is a big one. Eleodes has over 100 different species. And then it seems like the derived or forest dwelling groups occur more often in the east, eastern part of the country. Eastern United States, this is, we have a reference guide. I'll talk a little bit about that. We actually got some funding to pull together a reference guide for darkening beetles of the eastern United States. And this is what it's going to cover, everything east of the Mississippi River. We debated whether or not to include Louisiana. Maybe we can. We may include Louisiana, we're not sure yet. But roughly there are 80 genera, 250 species east of the Mississippi River. A lot of those species are alaculines, so they kind of, again, bumped up the numbers for Tenebrionids. And then, of course, several species extend into Canada and Mexico and Central and South America, so they're certainly not limited to the eastern United States. The distributions expand a little bit further than what I'm talking about but here. We do have some western North American fauna. We do have an Eleodes species in Wisconsin. I think Dan and Judy Maxwell found that thing a few years back in western Wisconsin. So we do have that genus represented in the eastern United States. And then we have these hypothetically derived groups, including the Coelomata pinene, there's approximately 30 species. These are our big tenebrionids in the eastern U.S. And they typically occur, they're associated with wood and trees and stuff, and that's where you find the larvae in adults. There is a lot of hidden diversity in the eastern United States. You think we have everything covered. We don't. And Warren Steiner is picking up all kinds of neat and interesting things throughout the eastern U.S. We think that these are potentially three different Blapstenis species here occurring in different sand ridges in Florida. I think he's still working on descriptions on those, but they look pretty similar, but upon closer look, these might be three different species. And a lot of the life history information and immature descriptions are lacking, and this includes the common species, the ones that we find all over the eastern United States. We still need immature descriptions for larvae and pupae, which would be important for systematic work. Just some numbers. Florida and the southern states, since I was in Florida doing my PhD, sort of tabulated the numbers there. Peck and Thomas have a distributional checklist that I was able to look at, and then look in the collection and stuff. We have approximately 170 species in Florida, which is about 70% of the total fauna in the eastern U.S. So it seems to be they're more speciose in the southern part of the eastern United States. About 130 species in the northeast, that was counted primarily from Downey and Arnett, 1996. That's about 50% of the fauna. And then the work that I did under Dan, we have about 130 species in the Western Great Lakes region. Wisconsin, for instance, has 95 species, and Ohio has about 85 species. Some of the collection methods. The best thing is really focused hand collecting for adults and larvae. Not a lot of tenebrionids come to trap. I mean, to trap, some of them do. Some of them come to light or malaise traps, but focused hand collecting is really the best way to collect these guys. And the picture looks very different at night. Obviously, they're more active at night. So when you put a headlamp on and inspect trunks of trees and fungi and foliage, you'll see a lot more tenebrionids out there than you would during the day. So actually, night collecting might be a little bit easier. But you have to get out there. You can't just sit at a light. You have to get out and use your headlamp. Several species can be found on a single tree, like in oak and pine barrens. When some of these trees are dead and dying, you can find upwards of 10 different species on a single tree. Fungi or fungal samples, you can bring those back to the lab. Just bring back some bracket fungi, let it go for a while, and then some tenebs will appear. Or break it apart, and you'll find larvae and adults in these samples. And again, light traps work for some of the more vagile species, like the lagrions and the alaculines. And beating the limbs of trees turns up some of those lagrion species. I'll show you a couple of examples of those. So again, focused hand collecting and ripping through trees and whatnot is the best way to get these guys. Just some numbers for the eastern United States, and this follows the taxonomy presented by Al Boone, American Beetles. There are 10 subfamilies represented in the eastern U.S. The lagrions, there's about 14 species. The phrenapetines are represented by Dietis punctatus, a single species. Pimeliines, there's about 4 species. There's some subspecific names associated with some of these pimeliines, and probably just one species. Bolotophagines, 5 species. The diaporines are pretty speciose, and they include the Platydema. There are about 14 species. Hypophyllines, that's Curtisius, these are all Curtisius species. Those are typically associated with bark beetle galleries. Opatrines, 18 species. Most of those are Blapstenis species. The tenebrionines are speciose of 45 species. And then the alaculines, luckily we have the alaculines now. They do bump up our numbers. There's 65 species. And the very speciose Hymenorus group, there's probably over 100 species in North America of those guys, and there needs to be a lot of work done with Hymenorus. That is a busy group. And then the Coelomata pinene, about 28 species in the eastern U.S. The literature that I've used, and I used some of the primary literature I used to calculate some of these totals when I was doing my master's research, Blashley's work for Indiana, Charlie Triplehorn's work in 1952, his thesis for Ohio, Kirk for South Carolina, Spielman for Michigan, and I mentioned Downey and Arnett for the northeastern part of North America, and then Peck and Thomas. Sykes has some stuff for Rhode Island, and then the stuff that Dan and I did for my master's research. I do have a couple of websites. The Tenebrionidae of Wisconsin does have some distribution maps for Tenebs of Wisconsin. The images are bad, though. that was a long time ago, and the images need to be updated, so you can't really see some of those details too well. But the Darkling Beetles of Florida and Eastern United States has much better images, and for the reference guide that we're going to do, we'll even have better images for these species in the Eastern United States when we get that thing pulled together. But those are a couple of websites you can take a look at to see some distribution maps and information about darkling beetles in the eastern U.S. I'm just going to now give you what Dan called earlier the eye candy. I think the rest of the talk is some of the images that we do have for these species. These are the basal groups, at least what we think are some of the basal groups. Selagrines are comprised of Statira and Arthromacra, and this is an example of Statira, which occurs in hardwood forest and occurs throughout most of the eastern United States, with the exception of Florida and some of the southern states. As far as dietus goes, we have Dietus punctatus throughout the eastern United States, and that occurs in decaying wood. Dan has described the larva of that species, so we have a description there and some immature information associated with that. An example of a pumelianine that we have here, which occurs on sandy beaches in southern Florida, the Sporanchus floridanus, is a neat Tenebe. Some of the derived groups, at least what we think are derived, representing the Alaculini, the Hymenorus, so there's quite a few species of Hymenorus. And this species, Dorsalis, occurs in the southeastern United States. There's, like I mentioned earlier, about 35 Hymenorus species in the eastern U.S. This Oncomera floridensis is persinctive or endemic to Florida, and it was described in 1984, so that was fairly recently described, and I think was collected at Archibald Biological Station. And one of our pseudomatopines, Polypleuris perforatus, which is taken on pine, pretty common. The two species that occur in that genus are pretty common under the bark of pine, or you can find them on the surface of the pine trees at night. And this thing occurs in much of the eastern and southeastern United States. Some of the small guys, these guys are some of the smaller ones that we have in the eastern part of North America. Peritonitis punctatus, this is a lagrine that you can collect on leaves or fallen branches. I think Warren has collected these things in the tents of tent caterpillars. You can find them in there. Grayes fusculus, another lagrion that occurs in the eastern United States, occurs in leaf litter. This is a monotypic genus. And then Rhipidandrus paradoxus that has the pectinate antennae, at least the males do. You can find that in fungi. And that's one of those Tenebrionid species that has a 444 tarsal formula. Some of the large guys I mentioned earlier, the coelomethopines, Upis ceramboides. Something that doesn't occur in the southern states, occurs more commonly in the northern states, and seems to be associated with birch, aspen, and oak. Iphthomonas opacus, which kind of looks zopharid-ish to me, it's kind of a zopharid-looking Tenebrionid. That's one of our larger ones, and that does occur in northern states as well. In boreal forests, occurs under bark. And then Marinus laevis, which is widespread in the eastern United States. One of our largest Tenebrionids. So contrary to popular belief, there is some color, and these are the ones that I use to sell the idea of the reference guide to University Press. I have another slide too. I use these guys, and they bought, and it's like, you know, there's some color in Tenebrionids, but most of them will be black or brown. Arthromacra. There's a few species in the eastern United States. This one, Robinsoni, occurs in, the records are for Virginia and North Carolina. One of these strong drilling species happened to get up into Florida. I think maybe Paul collected it in an orange grove or something like that. I think we only have one or two specimens that represent that species, but it occurs more commonly in Central America. There's also a record for that guy in Texas, as far as North America goes. This is my last color slide here for these guys. Diapirus maculata, we've seen earlier. Katie presented that one. And one of the good species that Pete had here, you can see the variation in the spots here. There's another species we have in the eastern United States. If you look at the maculation here, it's different than maculata. Neobenus bicornis, another one that occurs in the eastern U.S. The ones with the red pronotum, the one that you see here, seem to be more common in the southern states. And they sort of drop off. You'll just see the same species, but the pronotum will be the same color as the elytra as you move further north. Another diaperine, Platydema lithigum, is another fungal species, but there's some color in tanemes here. We also have some scales. Worked on Lepidoptera, but there's some scales in Tenebrionids too. Amodinus fossor is a really cool bug. I think I have a few more slides of that, so I'll talk about it in some of the upcoming slides. This one appears to be native to North America, and this other one, which is endemic to Madagascar, is really interestingly similar to Amodinus fossor, and it was introduced back in the early 1900s. I think they first found it in Alabama. But Amodinus fossor does not occur in southern states or the Gulf Coast states. Does not occur in Florida. You would think it would occur in Florida. It's one of those really sand-loving species. Blends well with the substrate. But this other one, Lycanum, does occur in Florida. It's very common down there. The cone claw species, the Alaculines, now Tenebrionidae. This is just an example of some of the species that we have in the eastern United States. Again, Hymenorus, which is not up here, is a really large group that needs some taxonomic attention. Horns and tubercles, we have some of those on some of our species. Adelina, the male Adelina have short horns, which is kind of cool. These guys are dorso eventually flattened and for life or existence under bark. Here's another Platydema species. Many of the males have horns or tubercles in Platydema. And then the ubiquitous Bolitotherus cornutus, the forked fungus beetle. That occurs in bracket fungi is another common species, but nonetheless a pretty cool one that occurs throughout the eastern United States. Some flightless forms. We have quite a few flightless forms included in the Lagriines, Opatrines, Tenebrionines, and Coelomatopines. Here's Etokia, Picea, a Tenebrionine, and then one of the more vagile groups, the Alaculines, represented here by Locopoda. Those are the ones that will come into lights if you set up light traps or your black lighting and stuff. The Alaculines, which are much more vagile than some of these other darkling beetles, will come into lights. The habitat specialist, you saw Amodinus fossor a little bit earlier, but again, the morphology is specialized for existence in sand, and the legs are modified for burrowing or sand swimming. These are flightless, and they occur throughout a good portion of the eastern United States, but in a lot of places there are these isolated micro-deserts that you find them in. And the picture there up on top is Wisconsin, Blue River Sand Barrens up in Wisconsin, that you can find this species. It also occurs along the dunes and beach, sands along the Atlantic Ocean. Again, not in Florida, though. It would be interesting to find, but haven't found it yet down there. Some of the things that get in to the country, and these things are coming in all the time, and we have 15 cosmopolitan species in the eastern United States. So there's Alphatobius and Tribolium and Pilaris and some of those genera. Approximately 7 species were recently introduced to Florida, and I've highlighted some of them here. Lycanum is one of the ones that has been here for a while. I think it got in like 1906. Basila crypticus is one of them from South America. This is a diaperine. Some other immigrants, Soropria. Warren has just written a paper up on Soropria. That is from Asia. Occurs only in southern Florida. Again, another diaperine. This European thing that we've seen a little bit earlier, that's not a scarab, occurs from Maryland to Florida. Again, another diaperine. And these things have been hand-picked. Warren collects these things when he's out in the field, taking in traps and the shipments of organic products as far as how some of these things get in. And most of these introductions are probably, a lot of them are associated with products having some kind of fungal growth, because a lot of these things are diaporines that get in here. Some beneficials, the Curtisius species are facultative bark beetle predators. They're typically associated with pine. They're feeding on fungi and stuff, but they actually do occasionally feed on immature and adult bark beetles. And then, if you think about it, most tenebrionid species aid in decomposition of organic materials. So tenebrionids are beneficial insects. Some undescribed species. There's a couple of species that Warren is describing in Neatus. There's one here on the left. I found specimens of this one, I believe, in a tree hole. Back when I was doing my master's research, and I think this is one of the ones that he's now describing as a new species. Neatus tenebroides is very common in the eastern United States. That was the only one we thought we had, but there are apparently two more. I think there's an undescribed species of Maricantha in Florida. The Maricantha's been monotypic, and in the panhandle there's something that looks much different. It has been called Maricantha contracta. But upon closer look, the punctation on the pronotum, the interstrial punctation is different. They're smaller. The male genitalia is different. It's a different species, and that needs to be described. Warren is also describing two additional Helops species and another Eutokia, which he collected in Florida. So there are certainly a bunch of undescribed species out there. The reference guide we have in PrEP, the Darkened Beetles of the Eastern United States, University Press has expressed interest in it, and they're just waiting for us to provide them the manuscript now. But this will include species accounts, and those accounts will include synonymies, diagnoses, life histories, and distributions for the 200 and some odd species of tenebrionids in the eastern U.S., and then some good images, keys, and then relevant literature for these darkened beetles. And this was possible, at least the color images. I don't know if we're going to maybe have like one plate of color images, but funding for this has been provided by the Florida Agricultural Experimental Station and the Entomology and Nematology Department at the University of Florida. So, just in summary, there are about 250 known species of tenebs in, east of the Mississippi River. A lot of the life histories and immature descriptions are still lacking. There's this hidden diversity and several undescribed species. I'm not even sure if I covered all of the ones that Warren has in PrEP. And some tenebs have color. There's a few more that have color than what I showed you today. But I just want to say that these guys do represent a significant component of our regional entomofauna, and they are still poorly understood. And if we think about biodiversity and conservation, how do we begin to manage and conserve things we don't even really know much about? And I'm hoping this reference guide is a catalyst for similar work. Hopefully we can get more publications like this out here on groups that don't have a lot of color and stuff like that, like darkened beetles. And this will be important in understanding the true diversity of tenebrionids, coleoptera, and insects in general. I just want a couple of acknowledgments. John Caponera, who's our departmental chair, has provided funding for this reference guide. Mark McClellan, Dean of Research at the University of Florida, has also provided funding. And then the resources at Entomology and Nematology, Florida State Collection of Arthropods, Department of Entomology, University of Wisconsin, and the National Museum of Natural History. And then some of these folks at the bottom here provided images in the past few years for this reference guide. And then I just want to acknowledge Alistair, our good friend. That's all I have.